You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
The jump off starts here. The jump off starts right now. Come on now.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with three voices. I'm Rita.
I'm Simeon.
And we are still talking child support. This is radio the way it should be heard. Again, Simeon, child support. Issues with child support. There's so much still left to cover, and we're going to have a great time today.
We really are.
We have a wonderful guest in here with us, and he is ready to kick it. You know, we don't go formal in here.
Ever.
We kick it. So I'm very excited to get talking to Mr. Glenn Harris. Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
Hello, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Great. We're very excited to get into this conversation. He's going to talk about his position with the Columbus Urban League and what he does to help fathers who are having questions and issues within the child support system.
Absolutely.
And because this is such an important conversation, we're not going to really delay and belabor all the intros and all of that stuff. I'll let him introduce himself in a moment. But see, you always sighing on me. I don't understand this.
As
a matter of fact, why are you sighing on me? This is your article you found.
But that doesn't mean that anything positive is about to happen over these next few moments. Right now, I'm not even bothering to cite the source because this was taken from a Yahoo contributor network, which is very similar to Wikipedia, where just people write all kinds of editorials and whatnot.
Right.
Though there are sources held, so I'm just going to give you the headline, and then we're going to go from there.
Go on.
RNC choke kills WWE WrestleMania fan who refused to give up or tap out. Fan reaction.
You mean RNC, like Republican National Convention?
Not the Republican National Convention.
Because they can choke you up.
They can and do.
Okay. Okay.
However,
go ahead.
RNC in this case stands for rear naked choke. Rear naked choke.
Go ahead.
All right. According to St. Charles Parish Sheriff Greg Champagne, Arsenault has gathered with friends. Actually, you know what? I'm going to back up. Stephen A. Arsenault III, a 24-year-old from Destran, not sure how to pronounce that, was pronounced dead at 10:39 p.m. Sunday night, the Times Pekin reported. According to St. Charles Parish Sheriff Greg Champagne, Arsenault was gathered with friends at a home on Murray Hill Drive to watch the pay-per-view event WrestleMania 28 on television when he and a 14-year-old cousin began to wrestle on an inflated mattress on the floor. The juvenile, who was 5 feet 6 inches tall and weighed 110 pounds, placed his arm around the neck of Arsenault, who was 5 feet 10 inches tall and weighed 220 pounds, and in a move commonly known as the rear naked chokehold for 30 to 40 seconds. I'm going to put a period there, and we're going to kind of start that conversation.
First okay. of all, the name, rear naked chokehold.
Well, it's more descriptive than it is anything else.
Okay.
It's literally that. It's rear in terms of it's applied by you getting behind someone. Naked choke, meaning that there's nothing in between your arm, and the person's throat. So your naked arm is on their naked throat.
Okay.
And then you pretty much pull back and squeeze. And it is thus the choke. It's a jiu-jitsu move. That is, in jiu-jitsu as an art form, as you may remember, our friend at the beginning of this series and from our health and wellness series, Tony Henderson,
right.
Our jiu-jitsu practitioner. And even when you consider our mixed martial artist friend from our health and wellness series, he's a smaller guy, Takuma Robinson.
Yes.
Jiu-jitsu is an art form that's practiced primarily for a smaller gentleman to be able to defend themselves against larger guys, which was exactly the case here. Rear naked chokehold. Not sure which one took the 24-year-old, 220-pounder out.
Yeah.
But with chokeholds, there are typically two types. One is a blood choke and one is an air choke. And yeah, you're about to get a choke 101 lesson from the deacon of the
Let's
Baptist
go.
Church.
Let's go.
Air choke is exactly what everybody thinks of when they hear choke. It's when you're blocking off the air from the lungs and the brain. That is typically the more deadly of the two chokes. Whereas what you typically see in mixed martial arts, Bellator, UFC, you know, Strikeforce, those kinds of things, are more than likely blood chokes. And blood chokes are where you take the forearm and the bicep and then you press them against the person's carotid artery. You've heard us make reference to the carotid artery several times throughout the series, to the carotid artery, and the blood is prevented from reaching the brain. One can be unconscious on a properly applied blood choke within 4 to 8 seconds, sometimes as many as 12. That's usually what you see, which is why when somebody goes limp, you know, the protocol is you let it go and it's over with.
Right.
This was held for 30 to 40 seconds, which even if you're holding on tight and it's an air choke, and chances are air chokes are more than likely to kill you.
Yes.
You can recover from a blood choke a lot easier. This sounds so morbid because it is morbid. Somebody ended up dying.
Right.
But this is wild. I was watching WrestleMania 28 with my son, and I got to say, if we were at home, I can't promise that I wouldn't have choked him out, because that's what we do. Lower the
yes,
eyebrows
Deacon.
Off of your forehead.
Yo, yes, Deacon.
No, I mean, we rough house and whatnot, but no, yes. There are no real choke holds. Although I do remember telling you about the time my son did put me in a triangle choke, and I did get lightheaded. And he did that when he was 3, and I'm a grown man. So I say that to say that this is real. So just don't do it, because long story short, this ended in a tragedy. And, you know, what do you say? How do you tell somebody's wife, mother, you know, daughter, brother, whatnot, I'm sorry, I just killed Uncle Pete?
Well, and, you know, the thing is it was a 14-year-old. So his
right.
judgment on that situation would be not as great as the adult he was playing with. So
right.
even if you're roughhousing with someone, you have to be careful in doing that and telling them, you know, listen, you have to not hold it for so long.
Right.
You know, we're just playing. This
right.
isn't real. Don't make it look like we're in the ring.
Right. When you're roughhousing, choking is not anything to play with. It really just period. Unless you know what you're doing, and even then, you shouldn't really play with it. It's bad.
I agree. Choking of any sort, and that goes for all kinds of games. I see horrid things that kids do playing, you know, with things around their necks.
Right.
And, you know, the dangers. You know, they I
right.
saw something talking about the dangers of mini blinds in children. And
right.
Oh, freaked
yeah, that's
me out.
Right.
You know, all
yeah.
kinds of things with choking. But seriously, if you're playing that naked arm against your naked chest,
yeah.
Throat, rather.
Yeah, it's bad. There's nothing good that can come from
it. It's all bad.
And somebody's going to say, like, well, what about erotic asphyxiation?
It's all bad.
Do what you got to do, but nothing good long term.
You're going to need your air.
Nothing good long term comes from choking.
There you go. And that's just a little something.
We've been kicking around.
All right. With us today, we have Mr. Glenn Harris. Hi, Glenn.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
All right.
Glenn.
I'm great. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do with the Urban League?
Absolutely. About 5 years ago, we started an initiative at the Urban League called the African American Male Initiative. The whole point behind this was to create some programming that would reduce some of the social ills that were plaguing the African American males in the city of Columbus. Back in 2006, we had a record number of murders here in the city, and 76% of those individuals who were murdered were under the age of 30. 66% of those who were murdered were African American. 60% of those who committed those murders were, again, African American.
Mm.
So we decided to come up with some programming to combat some of those social ills. We chose a 3-pronged approach. The first thing we do is youth mentoring. I think was pretty obvious to us that, you know, to provide some male leadership to some of our young people. The second piece was ex-offender reentry, working with the men who come home from incarceration and helping them get reacclimated into the community. And then the third piece, and it's actually the first piece that we launched, was our program of responsible fatherhood that we call Father to Father. The whole purpose behind that program is to assist men in becoming the responsible, instinctive, and nurturing fathers that they actually desire to be.
Instinctive,
right.
Nurturing. I like those words.
Well, no, the thing that I really picked up on more than anything with respect to father is what he said last, that they actually desire to be.
Absolutely.
which goes against the throngs of you know, all kinds of paradigms that people have already assigned. to different people who have found themselves in the position of fatherhood.
Right.
You'd be amazed when we started the program and I started, you know, pitching the idea around town. I got a lot of feedback that it wouldn't work. That, you know, the men in our urban community just weren't interested in being fathers. You hear that deadbeat dad term, you know, right, being used so often. And quite honestly, I was one of those men at one point in time. You know, it was no more than 10 years ago that, you know, I could have been looked at and pointed at as that deadbeat dad. So I kind of took it as a challenge to say, you know what, I'm going to prove you folks wrong. I'm going to show you guys that the men in our community do want to be fathers, have the desire to be fathers. But there happen to be various barriers that prevent them from being the type of fathers they want to be.
Right.
Those barriers come in form of, you know, it could be mom pushing them out the picture. It could be institutional barriers like child support we're going to talk about today. And a lot of intergenerational learning that we've had, you know, learning from our fathers. You know, a lot of us come up from a situation of fatherlessness. And then as we grow older, we think it's okay to you know, again, be an absent father.
Right.
All right. And now word from our Talktainment family. Nikki Ransom, get up and close with Real Talk. Can you handle it? Broadcast live Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I like the way that the description of the program was put together. In doing this series, we have come across a number of people who, I'm not even going to say broke the mold, because I don't think that the mold of a father can be just one thing, but I believe that the stereotype, they broke the stereotype in my eyes, I know definitely,
absolutely,
of what a father who is needing to pay child support was doing. And even the mothers that we've spoken with, they definitely broke that stereotype of what a mother receiving child support from her children's father looks like to us. And so I'm really excited to hear more about the Responsible Fatherhood Initiative there.
Right. And coming from Glenn, this is going to be an interesting conversation. I know literally, I've known Glenn for a little while now, and literally 100% of the time that I've known him to be a responsible father. And that was since his oldest son was very young. So I'm actually pretty interested in hearing about, I'm a little thrown when he said that at one point he would have been considered one of those. I'm thinking like, man, 100% of the time that I know your kid was little.
The nosy journalist in me is going, what did you mean by that, Glenn?
Let me share with you some of my experiences, and specifically speaking of child support. First and foremost, I had my oldest son at a very young age at 19. Mm-hmm. And, you know, coming from a situation where my father was incarcerated for most of my teenage and early adult life, I was a bit clueless as to what that role was, how I should, you know, interact with my son, how I should, you know, lead and nurture and all those things. One of the first things I definitely made a commitment to is that I never wanted anybody to be able to point the finger at me and say, you know, I'm not any better than what my father was. So that was the first commitment.
Mm-hmm.
I voluntarily went to child support myself and said, you know, I want to take financial responsibility for my son.
Okay.
Unbeknownst to me, that later in life would backfire on me. I was in retail management for many, many years after high school. You know, I went into retail management. I was making a good salary for a young man, 20, 21 years old, you know, mid-30s.
Right.
The company I was working for, I was managing a retail store here called Just for Feet, and they went out of business. At that point in time, I made a conscious decision, you know what, I want to go to college and get my degree so that I can have a different profession other than retail. I immediately called child support and said, hey, I'm no longer going to be able to pay this $680 a month because I'm getting ready to go to school full time. You know, how do I go about getting some sort of modification, some sort of decrease so that I can, you know, go ahead and get my academics in order and get my degree and continue to support my son? The response that I got from child support, which was very surprising to me, was you have two choices. Either A, you pay your child support, or B, you go to school and you get behind. And I was a bit flabbergasted at that time saying, well, as much as I can calculate, I believe me going to college is only going to be a benefit to my son.
Yeah.
He'll have access to a larger income. I'll be able to be a better example. And I'll be able to give my son, you know, something to look up to and kind of setting the path for him to embark on later in life. So I was a bit floored by that response that I get. Coincidentally, to say I made a choice to go ahead and attend college, and no, I could not afford to pay $680 a month. It was $100 here, $200 there, to where I got behind in my arrears. By the time I got to my last year in college, I had acquired a significant amount of arrears, and I got a contempt order to appear in court. I'm sitting in court, and, you know, I got my grade card with me. I want to show the judge how good I'm doing in school. You know, I'm above a 3.0.
Yeah, I was about to say, you were doing well. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I maintained a 3.4 GPA, and, you know, I'm going to judge thinking, you know, here, I got a couple cards that I can play to show the judge what I'm doing. I'm actually out here being responsible.
Right.
And was shocked to learn that the judge actually sentenced me to 30 days.
Right.
And gave me a break because I was in school, or so he thought he was giving me a break by saying, you know what, instead of just turning yourself in doing 30 days, we're going to make you do 10 weekends. Come in on a Friday, you get out on Sunday. And I was floored. Like, are you serious? Like, are you serious?
I'm sorry. Those of you who are listening and not sitting in front of me can't see my face.
Right.
And as Simeon says, my raised
eyebrows.
He was giving you a break by having you do 10 weekends. I'm going to let you finish your story. Go ahead.
Hold on, but real quick, before you finish that story, because that was obviously a punitive piece.
Yeah.
Did that 10 weeks mean that you no longer owed that amount of money?
Absolutely not.
Okay, keep going.
Oh.
It was more so to say, okay, you're not taking us seriously. We're going to sit you down, let you think about it, and let you know we're serious about that. And quite honestly, to this day, I've been out of college for 10 years now. I still have over $8,000 worth of child support arrearage that accumulated during 4 years of college. It's very similar to the situation I see many of the men coming home from incarceration face. They come home, and depending on the amount of time that they have $20, $40, $60, $80,000 in arrears. How do you ever expect a man to get caught up to that type of dollar amount, including the fact that they're now a felon, which makes it that much harder to get a job.
And
a real job to get that kind of money. You're talking minimum wage jobs because of that scarlet letter that we call it. It was quite absurd. So that right there kind of embarked my passion about child support and drove me to say, you know, how at some point in time can I create some change in this dynamic so that, you know, fathers, especially in the urban community, can navigate that institution a little bit easier.
Wow. That's really all I can say right about there. First of all, the one thing that I know we've touched on before is the no options angle. You either pay it or you get behind on it. There's no middle ground there. There's not an easy way to modify. And what happens when, like you said, you lost your job, the company went out of business. I remember when that happened. Absolutely. It was a big deal here in Central Ohio. You no longer are making enough money to support that. So what is the modification that you can do there? And you still have to exist in this world. You still have to pay your bills.
Absolutely.
You still have to live day to day, but they don't care about that. It's the system that way is horribly flawed, and it floors me to still hear that kind of story. And you're talking about somewhat 10 years ago almost?
This is 10 years ago, yes.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, first thing I would say is, although you do speak truth, I caution any man out there never going to a courtroom and use that argument. Because you go in there and talk about me and what I got to feed and what I got to eat, they're not trying to hear that. This is about the child. And I can understand that point of view, because at the end of the day, it is about the child, making sure the child has the resources they need to be successful.
Right.
However, one thing I will say, in the last 5 years, I've developed a phenomenal relationship with our local child support agency.
Uh-huh.
In fact, it kind of coincided. The same time I was starting a program, there was a new director brought on board. Her name was Susan Brown. And Susan Brown had herself made a commitment to change the image of what child support had in the community. So when I approached her, it was kind of like perfect timing. Oh, you're exactly what I need. We can start to change the perception. And she was very, very receptive to some of the ideas and thoughts that I had. One of the first things that I suggested to her, and this was literally our first meeting, she started, you know, literally inquiring, well, what can we do to change that perception out there? I said, well, you can start with all these wanted posters hanging around here, because that's pretty intimidating and it's pretty scary. No man wants to walk in here. I mean, literally within 2 days, all those pictures were down, and it was more positive images of fatherhood versus these man wanted $44,000 behind in child support. So from the very beginning, she showed me, look, I'm ready to change, and we have to change what child support is. And we've been very successful doing that.
All right, then.
Really quickly, Glenn, because there are a couple of, at least a handful of women who are listening, you know, more often than not young,
mm-hmm.
that heard your testimony and are furious right now, because after everything that they said, all that they heard was, I shouldn't have to pay this because I went to jail.
At no point in life, again, I voluntarily went to child support, so I never thought that I shouldn't pay. So that's never the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the idea was I should be required to pay an amount that was reasonable and mm-hmm. manageable based upon my personal financial situation. What you have to begin and what you'll learn as you delve into the whole child support scenario is some of the language, terminology, and jargon that they use. Mm-hmm. And one that they like to use in the child support world is a term that they call imputed income and earning potential.
Okay. What does that mean for those who don't know?
Well, the first one, earning potential, means that you will always be held accountable to child support based upon your potential to earn an income and what that potential is. For example, if you're a college degree individual, there's a certain income that you're expected to make. So therefore, the child support is not going to allow you to take a McDonald's job making $8.50 an hour thinking that you're doing that intentionally. And this is why the law is in place.
All right, now, I really want to hear that, and we're going to get back to it in just one second. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio and the home of Brother K, educating to liberate and conversate in the AM. Stay right there. More about this language and terminology coming up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
All right, I've gone through all the tracks, just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Hook.
Scratching on my first school dance takes confidence. So getting into college, I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
My name is Ruth Rusey. I volunteer with United Way, reading to children to help prepare them for a better academic future. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps, life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
The jump off starts here. The jump off starts right now. Come on now.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Three Voices. I'm Rita.
I'm Simeon.
And we're hanging with Glenn Harris from the Columbus Urban League. You can join in this conversation by giving us a call at 1-877-932-9766. Again, that number is 1-877-932-9766. And last we spoke, Glenn was starting to explain to us some of the language and terminology that parents who are in the child support system should be aware of. Can we get back to that, Glenn?
Absolutely. We left off and we were talking about what they called earning potential. And the whole premise behind that was at some point in time, it was discovered that men were intentionally taking jobs at a lower pay grade than what they actually were capable of. Mm-hmm. And the idea behind that was I'll get a lower child support payment if my salary is not X amount. So to combat that, child support came up what they call earning potential. And regardless of the job that you have, your child support will always be calculated at what they call earning potential. The negative to that, and I'll explain this to you, that for example, I had a man that I was working with who was an electrician working with ADP, mm-hmm. was making somewhere mid $60,000 a year, something like that, got a felony conviction, went to jail for 18 months, came home. His child support was $870 a month, something like that. For a felon, and okay. Remember, he's now behind because he missed 18 months.
Right.
Lord.
However, he had to wait 3 years to get his child support modified because it's based upon your earning potential of the previous 3-year period. So, with that being said, here I'm a convicted felon. I have an $870 a month child support payment that is going to be difficult to get minified because, again, my earning potential is that $70,000 because that's what, you know, my occupation was prior to incarceration.
Right. Okay. So even in that, he's been incarcerated for 18 months. He's still got to wait 3 years from that point to get it modified. Even when it gets modified, is there some modification to that outstanding balance?
It ideally, what should happen is that should happen during the period of incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
The downside is that in our community, we just don't have knowledge of all the processes that are out there to us. Oftentimes, child support and or the courts don't see it as their responsibility to educate the community on all the avenues or all the processes that may be available. So the men that we work, we definitely try to take them through that process. And one thing that I think often is not understood in the community is that the courts always supersede child support. So if you're not getting, you know, what you need in child support, you're not getting the service that you need, you always have the option to go in front of a court and a mm-hmm. judge who can then use personal circumstances and different things like that into consideration. What child support is bound by law. They have a formula. They plug in the numbers. Whatever that spits out, they have to enforce that amount. A judge can use a certain amount of discretion as they determine that amount.
Now, and I've talked to a lot of fathers who are paying child support who need it adjusted for one reason or another, but are so afraid to go to court. And you're here telling us that the court is actually going to be probably your better friend.
Absolutely.
In this situation.
Absolutely.
They've got more leeway to adjust or, you know, give forgiveness.
Absolutely.
For certain things.
And trust me, I understand that there's a very innate fear of the judicial system in our community. We just don't
right.
trust it. We fear it. And that's natural. Although, you know, we have to understand that if you understand, and I'm a very firm believer in this, if you understand how a system and or institution works,
mm-hmm.
you can literally use it against itself. Let me give you an example of that. Now, with my knowledge that I have of child support, I teach men some of the cracks in the system, I should say.
Uh-huh.
The same information I just gave you, that modification typically happens on a 3-year basis.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, for example, you're unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get your modification done now. You get a new job next week. Well, now you have kind of a 3-year cushion before that child support is now escalated, jacked up based upon that new income. Also, what I would like to say is that I think we need to do a better job of establishing relationships in our community.
Okay.
And do the best of our ability to avoid the child support system. Child support comes into place when, you know, that mom doesn't trust or doesn't feel comfortable that that father is going to contribute to the household. If that relationship is there, if that
yes.
communication is there, we can eliminate from the process. And it's that father's responsibility to give her the confidence that he's going to be there. He's going to nurture. He's going to be a breadwinner, so on and so forth, to provide, you know, the resources that that child needs.
Right.
And I think that's why child support, you know, at this day has kind of, you know, taken on the face that it has, is because we have lost the value of marriage in our community. Out of wedlock births have just blossomed in the last 40 years.
Right.
And at some point in time, you know, that's how child support has kind of gotten this new phase.
Wow. I love this information. Again,
right.
we say education
Absolutely.
Is key.
Absolutely.
Let's have a word from our sponsors. The African American Male Wellness Walk. This is a great opportunity to get professional financial insights. Is this the right time to start a business? Saving money when you can't make ends meet? What can you do right now to improve your personal and family finances? Bring your questions to Summit's Trace Healthcare Center Thursday, April 26th at 12 noon to 2 p.m. in Columbus, Ohio. This event is free. Lunch is provided. Registration is required. For more information, call 614-857-1811 or email aamww2012@gmail.com. Information is your best resource always.
Right.
And just knowing you didn't spit out any rocket science, but it was definitely something that could be earth shattering for some folks.
Now, really quickly though, Glenn, because a few people just heard that and they're excited, but they're still tentative because what they're hearing, and I don't think that this is what you said, but what they heard, given their experiences or whatever, is that though the courts can work, not so much as an advocate for the father or the non-custodial parent, as much as it is an advocate for the situation, though the courts can, has it been your experience that they do?
Yes, it has. one thing that we have to realize is the way the courts work is whoever initiates that filing, typically mm-hmm. the court's going to sway in that favor. And in our experiences, it's typically not us. We're not the ones filing the motions. We're not the ones filing the complaints. So we're there as the defendant.
Okay.
But when you are the plaintiff, you're the one that has initiated that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have an opportunity to have one, a stronger voice. Your voice is more recognized and it's more pertinent in the courtroom, I guess I should say.
Okay.
One of the things that I guess I have the most discomfort with child support, and we're figuring out, you know, kind of ways that we can work around that, is that there are no quote unquote trigger points for the punitive actions that they take.
Okay.
The philosophy, one would think that once you get 1,000 behind, we suspend your license. You get
right.
5,000 behind, you're going to court. You get 10,000 behind, now you have a felony. That is not the case.
Huh.
The case actually is, the way child support works is, every caseworker may have 1,000 to 1,200 cases on their caseload,
mm-hmm.
which means every case they should only see once every 4, 5, 6 months, something of that nature.
Right.
However, if you have that child's mom who calls down there every single week calling and complaining, every time they call, they have to notate to the account what they did with that account or how they tried to enforce that child support. If you've got a bad relationship with mom and she's calling down there all the time, your child support is going to be a little more difficult to manage. So it's always in the best interest for us to maintain the best possible relationship we can with mom. That way that, you know, the system doesn't become punitive.
We maintained in previous conversations that the child support, Enforcement Agency. I couldn't figure out what it was.
Okay.
The Child Support Enforcement Agency should really only come into this equation as the last resort. Because you would prefer to keep your family unit because you have a child together, you're a family, whether you're married or not.
Absolutely.
You want to keep that family unit in a better working order. So now you're saying here again, if you don't have a good relationship with mom, that's going to keep your case bogged down with minutia, and does that bring it up faster for, you know, oh, well, this person has, you know, 75 notes here over the last 4 weeks.
Absolutely.
So this person, we need to be reviewing and seeing, you know, what's happening. So that person gets pushed kind of to the front of the line.
You know, what made me kind of embark on the journey to find out the answer to that.
Yeah.
What made me want to get an answer to that very question was, I never will forget, about 3 or 4 years ago, I had two clients in two totally distinct situations. One father was $2,000 behind. He had just did, I think, 90 days in the county jail for child support on a contempt case. I had another father who was $80,000 behind, didn't even know his caseworker's name. And I said, okay, well, please explain this to me. How is this dynamic
right.
working? How can he be, 46 times more in debt
right.
than this gentleman?
Right.
He don't even know a caseworker's name. Ain't been to court, nothing. It all came down to a relationship he had with that child's mother. They had an agreement outside of the child support order, and that's how they were maintaining it. And
okay.
they were totally avoiding the system because the system wasn't getting the complaint, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't, you know, making the enforcement. The second piece of that, which makes enforcement more difficult, if at any time that debt becomes owed to the state is going to be a lot more aggressive in collecting that debt because now you've taken public dollars, given mm-hmm. it to mom in the form of public assistance,
right.
and the state wants to recoup those funds that they've given the mother. So again, back to, you know, choosing our mates. You know, who are our mates? Who are we going to have our children by? What is the best case scenario, you know, to have these children?
Is it reasonable? And I definitely think it's real. Is it reasonable? And quick, you know, hint, the answer is yes. Is it reasonable to say to somebody, particularly if they're young, or particularly if they're in a certain mindset, a certain stage in their life, to say, every woman or man with whom you plan on having an encounter or potentially have an encounter, look at them as the potential mother or father to your child? Is it reasonable for people to look at a situation that way? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think even bigger than that, and one of the things that we coach our fathers to is, as you engage that female and you begin to embark upon a relationship, investigate what that relationship is with her father.
Right.
Because you'll get a good idea of what that relationship will be between you and she. Because if she has no respect, has an anger towards, has an attitude towards, it's going to come out in that relationship that you have with her, because she doesn't know how to communicate with a man. She doesn't have that relationship with the father, and it will come out in that relationship.
And I think that's been consistent. We've had several series, several different shows and whatnot where we've had guests or callers, and that dynamic showed itself to be true, and that was across the board,
right?
With a different demographic, from the very educated to the very polished, and to the very young, and we'll just say unpolished and whatnot. That's been very consistent.
And you have to know that going into it, be aware of who it is that you are associating yourself with. I have a friend now who is getting ready to be a father with someone that he doesn't like. And it's killing him. He is stressed. He doesn't know how to quite react to this, but I'm like, bro, was you paying attention when y'all were hooking up? You didn't really like her? Pay attention before you get to that point, because if you are intimate with someone, it can happen.
Now, well, what do we say to that cat other than suck it up? Even though really he has to suck it up. But what do we say to him to help him?
What I like to say to him, and I have this conversation an awful lot, because the first thing a man want to do is they want to call her bees, they want to call her name, call her baby mama, and all sort of derogatory terms. And I say, you know what? I'm willing to bet you $1 million that whatever you want to call her and say she is now, that's what she was when you laid down with her. You didn't take the time to investigate and find out.
Right. Agreed.
Somebody pass the collection. Where's the tune-up music? You know, and in addition to calling those names, when it boils down to it, the bottom line is that's now the mother of your child.
Absolutely.
Right.
And we have to refrain from the derogatory terminology we use. I hate the term baby mama and baby daddy.
Absolutely.
It's so derogatory. It's so, me as a father, that's the last thing you ever call me as a baby daddy, because I'm so much more than that. I'm a responsible father.
I know that's
and
right.
Nobody acknowledges that.
Thank you.
But at the same time, I have to give that same level of respect to my children's mothers and not use that derogatory term towards them.
Right.
You're absolutely right. And I was very proud of the young man last week who came on. He never referred to either one of his children's mother as baby mama, the mother of my daughters.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it's important to start simply with the language that you use to refer to each other. And if you don't think that your children pick up on that and are paying attention to it, they are.
Absolutely.
They pay close attention to it. They feel it. They internalize it.
Absolutely.
Because they are a part of both of you.
Right.
Well, one thing I definitely want to put on the record is that we've got it pretty good here in Ohio. Ohio is very far ahead of the curve when it comes to fatherhood, fatherhood policy. I get calls from all over the country from guys, what do you guys do in Ohio? How'd you guys do this? Or how'd you guys do that? We're very far ahead of the curve. We're the only state that has an Ohio Commission on Fatherhood that is actually an appointment by the governor's office.
Hmm.
And they give out funding. We receive funding from that office. And their whole processes to bring resources to fathers throughout the state and make sure they have the resources they need to be successful. I'm also a part of what they call the Ohio Practitioners Network for Fathers and Families. Our website is www.opnff.net. And what we are a collection of fatherhood practitioners that looks at policy, looks at different laws, and what's shaping the environment of fatherhood in our state. And we look at different policy changes and how we can influence some of those policies. What are the individuals, the politicians that, favor fatherhood and fatherhood legislation?
I'll tell you what, Glenn, really quickly, because again, some people are listening to you and though this is just platinum information that you're giving, and you might want to think about it perhaps over the commercial break, somebody is listening to this and they're hearing you pretty much say that policies, the laws, so on and so forth are skewed and resources are skewed to favor fathers. That's what somebody just heard you say.
No.
I'm going to let you get to that over the break. In just 1 second. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. We go where you go. Check us out on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, and also on your smartphone or tablet. Go to www.talktainmentradio.com for the podcasts and blogs. Listen live and participate by calling 1-877-932-9766. Stay right there. Exactly how is this skewed? Glenn's going to tell us coming up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Drop School Day students, community. High 7 the classroom, 1,000 America attendance. Quit variety, they have reasons. Job like to get. Baby raise a. Relative help an elderly. Happening local on its a level. Catastrophe, it's a national.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. It doesn't make sense to us either. We can keep students in school. Visit boostup.org and take the first step. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
I'm a champion. Realize checks mechanism. Yah, 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 yah.
Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rat. This is not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This is Salif Diarra, a local health worker in a remote village in Mali, West Africa. This is Mori, a child who survived malaria because of Salif's efforts. This is Bintu, a grateful mother, one of many in Salif's village. This is you, becoming part of the story. Help local health workers like Salif make the good go even further. Visit goodgoes.org to see the many ways you can help. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. This is a minimally invasive procedure. It is radiation-free, may destroy prostate cancer cells, and potentially has few side effects. This investigational procedure is performed at no cost to the patient. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com. Have you been diagnosed with prostate cancer? You may be eligible to participate in a clinical research study for an investigational procedure called high-intensity focused ultrasound, or HIFU. Call today at 1-866-619-6026 or visit www.theprostatecancerstudy.com.
If you're not facing your mortgage issues, this can be the most terrifying sound in the world. It means you've fallen behind. It means hope is dwindling. It means you're another call closer to losing your home to foreclosure. Fortunately, there's hope. If you need real help and guidance, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing. A public service announcement brought to you by NeighborWorks, the Ad Council, and this station.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. Stack their desks one atop the other, and it's a pile more than 17,000 feet high. Go to boostup.org and learn how you can help. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network. And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
The jump off starts here. The jump off starts right now. Come on now.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. This is Three Voices. I'm Rita.
And I'm Simeon.
And we're talking child support issues, suggestions, and everything.
Right.
Just everything.
Et cetera, ad nauseum.
There you go. Keep it moving. You can join in this conversation by giving us a call at 1-877-932-9766. And I haven't heard any callers up to this point.
I'm
and
hoping
I
that they're just
that,
taking notes.
That, yeah, because I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes, and this is very important, and I hope that you are listening and absorbing this wonderful information we're getting here today. I'm going to go back to you, Glenn. We started, Simeon had a question about, you want to rephrase that quickly, Simeon?
I don't remember what it was that I asked. I was counting on Glenn just knowing what I said and just kind of flowing.
That's why I had to defer to you. I'm like, man, you talked, but that was, you know, 2 minutes ago.
The right. question was, Sim, you asked if laws here in Ohio were skewed in favor of the father.
Making sure he was on his toes.
There you go.
No, that is not the case, and that's not what I wanted to say. In fact, what I was actually trying to say is that child support enforcement in Ohio is not as severe as it is in some other states. Okay. To give an example of that, in the state of California, they charge you interest on any arrears. In the state of Ohio, they don't. There isn't, in addition to that $4,000 in arrears, there is interest on the arrears. That's one example, and I can give you several examples across the country on how ours is, our child support is a little bit more lax than, you know, some of the national standards. What I want to do is I want to take a quick moment before we run out of time and talk and give guys some tips on how they can make this child support thing work a little bit easier for them and make it a little easier to navigate. First and foremost, number one, guys, open up the envelope that says child support on it.
What do you mean, open up the envelope? You mean the stack that's sitting in the corner? You can't ignore it?
Absolutely not. I mean, those can consist of court dates. They can consist of a request for financial documents. There could be several different requests made that actually may be there to benefit you. Mm-hmm. If you ignore it, you don't open it, you don't address it, that's an opportunity foregone. A big example is if mom requests a modification, she wants to, you know, see if she can get child support modified in some way. You get an envelope in the mail saying, hey, we need your financial information so we can look and see if you have the most fair child support amount. We ignore that. So when we get to the courtroom, the child support has an obligation to impute income upon you. So they're going to look at mom and say, mom, what does dad do? Oh, he's a plumber. What was he making a year? Oh, he makes about $40,000. Well, guess what? Your income is now $40,000 and it has just been imputed on you because you chose not to show up to the courtroom. So we have to open up our envelopes. The second piece, we have to communicate with child support. Communication is so essential. If all you are a social security number on a page on the screen, you will be treated as such. But once you become a real, live, breathing, tangible person, it's a lot easier to work with you, understand your circumstances, and give you the benefit of the doubt oftentimes or not. You'll be amazed at some of the workers, especially here in Franklin County, Ohio. They're willing to work with you. They're not going to allow you to skate for years at a time. However, they will give you some leniency if you've got some recent difficulties. They will work with you and not create a situation for you. The second piece, as far as managing your arrears, there are several options out there for you. If you know you owe the state has just started a new forgiveness program this past October, whereas if you become compliant with their child support, they will forgive some past arrears. Hmm. Anytime nice. You owe the arrears to mom, any point in time mom feels comfortable, she can sign off on those arrears and they automatically disappear. They will no longer exist. So it could be $80,000, it could be $220,000. If mom feels comfortable signing that document to release those funds, that can be forgiven and it can be gone. But the key to that is, fathers, we got to be taking care of our responsibility as fathers.
Yes. Right.
Mom's not going to be doing that if you're not, you know, spending time right. with your child, if you're not going above and beyond as a father and doing the responsible, nurturing things that you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
I wouldn't do it as a father. I mean, I just wouldn't do it. The last piece I definitely want to talk about again is and we talked about it just a second ago, is using the judicial system. It always supersedes child support, and you can always go on request. Oh, and one more thing I want to add. I've heard this several times. There's a misconception that child support and access to your child, custody, visitation, all those things are encompassed under one umbrella. That's not true. Okay. Child support is totally and mutually independent from the issue of visitation and parenting time. Just because you pay child support does not grant you access to your child. And vice versa. Just because I'm $100,000 in debt doesn't mean I don't have a right to be a parent. Two totally separate courtrooms handle those two different scenarios, okay. and they do not influence one another.
All right, then.
Another misconception that I want to put out there is the rate in which child support can take your income. I've heard fathers say, oh, man, I got to check it with them, but $2 on there. Understand there is a federal law to protect you. A child support can at no time take anything more than 65% of your income. For example, if your child support obligation is $400 a month, but your income is only $360, they can only take 65% of that $360. Anything, the difference, it just obviously goes to arrears. But you're still in compliance if they have an active wage withholding. So as long as they're taking money out of a check, they can never put you in default. They can never suspend your license. They can never put you in jail as long as they're getting money out of a check.
And again, you said that was a federal law, right?
That is a federal law, 65% if you are not married. If you are married and have another household, that percentage decreases to 55%.
Okay, thank you very much, Glenn. I have, in these last few moments, I have three questions for you. I want you to answer them as thoroughly as you possibly can.
Absolutely.
First question is, explain to our listeners, what exactly is your voluntary program, Father to Father?
Yes. Father to Father is a 12-week curriculum that we have at the Columbus Urban League. And before I answer that, I also want to, you know, give a good plug to the Columbus Urban League. In addition to the Father to Father program, we do employment services. So if there's any male or female out there that needs employment, we have housing services. We help with foreclosure. We do client-landlord relations and help with that communication. We have a Head Start, an excellent Head Start program for early childhood education. If you got young children and need kids. And last but not least, we have a great education department that will help, you know, provide tutoring, GED, you know, all those types of things. Back to the Father Father program, 12-week curriculum. What we do is a 12-week parenting class, essentially. And what I found out very early is that the parenting curriculum we use called the Nurturing Father, it doesn't address child support. It doesn't address custody and parenting time. So we include those things over the 12 weeks. Some of the things that we talked about today are some of the tidbits that fathers will learn during the 12 weeks, but it's all about making sure they have the resources and information they need to be the responsible, instinctive, and nurturing fathers that they desire to be.
Okay, question 1A. If I were to just grab a random, arbitrary graduate of your Father to Father program, what can I guarantee he would be able to share with me as far as having gone through the program? What can you pretty much guarantee that he knows?
First and foremost, their attitude towards both the mother and child support are going to be changed.
Okay.
Oftentimes, fathers come to us, they're very angry, they're very bitter about the system and about whatever that relationship was the child's mom. We talk a lot about co-parenting, and that's the goal of our program, to get both mom and dad into a situation where they can mutually co-parent that child. It's not, you know, the child has an opportunity to play the parents against one another. It's not a situation where, you know, I've got to barter with you to get my son for the weekend or anything of that nature. And they will know their rights. Most importantly, they will say, I'm informed.
Okay. And again, this is a voluntary program, correct?
Absolutely voluntary.
Beautiful.
Okay. Question number two. What exactly is Fishing with Dad?
We have an event coming up on May 5th of this year called Fishing with Dad. It's going to be held in partnership with the Grange Audubon Center, which is on Whittier, 300 Whittier Street. It's right across the street from the former police impound lot.
This is in Columbus, Ohio, for our listeners outside of Ohio.
Absolutely. During the event, what we hope to do is encourage some bonding between father and child. Fishing is one of those events you can't just hand a child a fishing pole and say, go fish. You actually got to have some instruction, some interaction, some teaching. And sports is fishing is one of those sports that requires a bit of patience and no better time to have some dialogue and some conversation with your child. So the event is there to inspire some conversation, some dialogue between father and child to some positive interaction. I encourage any mother or father out there to come out and participate. The first 100 children that arrive will receive a free fishing pole. And mothers, if you don't have a father involved in your child's life, feel welcome to bring your child out there and to be in the presence of male positive males.
Now this isn't an issue where we know how a lot of some things go. This isn't an issue where mom is going to show up looking cute because there are all these men around and an opportunity to date, right?
I definitely would not encourage that. I mean, these men are going to be there and focus on their kids. That's
that
our
might
goal.
Not be your best dating right there.
Right. Question number three. This has more to do with the background that I know that didn't come out with you, but I know you have an opinion on this. Industry rule number 4080. True or false?
Wow.
You going to hit me with the Tribe Called question?
I know you know. I know you have an opinion on it. Y'all don't know. He has a little bit going on with the hip hop culture, the DJ culture, and has for a while. He has an opinion on this.
Absolutely. You just opened a whole can of worms there.
I'm going to listen to this song because he keeps asking folks that, and I haven't even.
Everybody should have an opinion.
But you know what? The funny thing is, Brand Nubians and De La Soul just came out with a 2012 version of Benita Appelbaum. You should download that and take a listen to it.
I'll do that.
Take a listen to it. If I can, I want to put two more plugs out there. Guys, the key to this whole child support and fatherhood is having the information, having the resources you need to be successful. The Urban League, Columbus Urban League, has two events coming up that I welcome anyone to participate in. The first is we're doing a huge fatherhood summit on June 30th, 2012. It'll be held at Columbus State. Child support will be there with us. The courts will be there with us. We'll have employment opportunities there for you and all the resources you need to be a successful father. So please come out to the Fatherhood Summit on June 30th at Columbus State Community College. The second piece, we have a partnership with Columbus, Ohio's Franklin County Child Support Enforcement Agency. Every year in August, we do what we call a Child Support Empowerment Day. Mm-hmm. Family Empowerment Day for both moms and dads to come out and get all their child support issues addressed. Mm-hmm. Dad, if you want a modification, come that day. You'll get a modification there at the spot. If you have a warrant out there for child support, come that day. We'll get that warrant removed. We'll get you set up with the child support and get you a new hearing date.
Wow. So it's kind of like a little bit of an amnesty.
Right. Exactly. For lack of using that word, it's an amnesty day. Child support will give you your driver's license on the spot just for showing up. The whole premise behind it is we got to get men to stop running from the whole child support issue.
Absolutely.
We've got to look it in the face. We got to address it. And this empowerment day that Child Support and the Columbus Urban League created gives you that opportunity. One, we're going to meet in a neutral location. Last year we did it at St. Stephen's. We're trying to move to a different part of town this year so that now you're not in the child support building. You're kind of in a neutral setting.
Yeah.
And you can have that conversation. And one thing that we guarantee, there will be no arrest. So regardless of what your child support situation is, you have complete anesthesia. Come in, get it addressed, and let's get you started on a new slate.
That is a beautiful, beautiful thing, right? Because I have heard from several men who were just afraid to even step in the building and deal with their issue because they feel like, I'm already losing. They're going to take my license. I'm going to jail. So far behind, I can't keep up. I'm already on the losing side, so I'll just hide from it and not be a part of it. But with something like this, you really are giving these people a great leg up on the situation. You know, go in, we're going to wipe it clean. You show us some good faith, we'll show you some good faith.
I mean, I want to be careful. I don't want to say wipe it clean. That child support still
okay,
there.
Not wipe it clean. But you show us some good faith, we'll show you some good faith. Meet me in the middle.
Absolutely.
And we can work from there.
Absolutely.
Glenn, right now, somebody is getting excited. They're seeing a little hope. They're seeing a little silver lining. But they didn't write anything down. How do they get a hold of you and or find out about some of these items outside of listening to the podcast, which, of course, you're going to do, right, America?
Yes.
Several ways you can get in touch with us. You can get information. First, the phone number to the Columbus Urban League, 614-257-6300. You can ask for the Father to Father program. You'll get to myself or one of my colleagues, and we'll be able to help you with your child support situation, your access to your child, and help you build that bond that you want with your child. I also recommend checking out the Columbus Urban League website, www.cul.org.
All right. I'm loving this.
All right. I know. The information, again, we've said it before, that education is key. If you're fully educated on your situation, whatever it is, there's generally, I'm going to say more often than not, there's something out there that can help you. I know the wonderful information that Glenn has shared with us today has helped somebody already. Right. It's helped me. I've taken more notes here than I have in a minute. And I've got some specific people to share this with. And I'm looking forward to Glenn sharing the information about the upcoming programs with us so we can post it on our wall. I actually would like to post that on my personal Facebook wall. I think that information is great and it's a wonderful thing, especially the, I'm calling it the amnesty. The amnesty
child support
day.
Shoot me.
There you go.
Right.
No. I think it's a beautiful thing that they are considering that, you know, this is a daunting task for some fathers to actually get themselves to come forward because the system is not perfect and their situation is not perfect.
Absolutely.
And so they feel like they're already on the losing end. But if there's some place that they can come and say, listen, I know you're in danger of, you know, not having your driver's license. We're going to let you keep your driver's license, but you need to come down and talk to us. I know you're in danger of thinking that, you know, you might be going to jail. You don't have to worry about that so much right now, but you need to come down and talk to us. If you can meet me here, I'll meet you there. Glenn.
Right. Just know that there is no situation out there that's irreparable. I mean, anything can be fixed. You just have to take the time, take your diligence. There may be a few lumps you may have to take on the head or along the way, but there's no situation that's irreparable.
Let's talk about not spilling the milk in the first place. Right now, there's a 12, 13, 14-year-old boy and girl listening to this broadcast. Mm. What do you say to them who are not parents?
You know what? Before you have a child, have a relationship. If you can, try to control it to a marital situation. You'll have the best possible outcome if you're in that situation.
All right. Thank you, Glenn, for hanging with us. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, the way it should be heard.
Here, the for joining us. We are the Three Voices.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network,
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.